Welcome to our fifth season of Screen Tones. We're so excited to be back in action with More Things webcomics. You can listen to all our episodes, past, present, and future, on our website or YouTube channel, or wherever you get your podcasts, chat about the show in our community Discord, and support the show on Ko-Fi or Patreon. You can find links to all those things at screentonescast.com. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Don't let your dreams be dreams. Yesterday, you said tomorrow. So just do it! Face your dreams! I'm screwed!
Welcome to the jam! And everyone slam!
Woo! Okay. Woo! Hello, and welcome to Screen Tones, where we talk anything and everything webcomics. Today, we're going to be talking about the pros and cons of starting with a big webcomic idea. I'm Crispy, my pronouns are she, they, and I make the webcomics Ghost Junk Sickness and Lunar Blight.
I'm Star, my pronouns are she, her, and I make the comic Cast Off.
And I'm Ray, my pronouns are they, them, and I make the webcomics Overlord of Ravenfell and On Empyrean High.
And I'm Verithane, and my pronouns are she, they, I make the webcomics Tyrault and Witchwood.
Beautiful. Absolutely delicious. Those sound like some pretty long webcomics, but we'll get into that. So, well, if you're like, I guess, everybody on this podcast, you've had some pretty epic webcomic ideas. They're really cool and exciting. Maybe you've even been developing them for 10 or more years before you've drawn your first page, and they're probably going to take another 10 years to draw. If you're lucky, this is a situation that can be both exciting and scary. And well, we're going to talk about it today.
We're going to fight.
Or we're going to agree, because so I'm going to throw this right to everyone, and I'm probably going to throw it in your direction, Star, first. So let's get into the down and dirties. Did you launch right into your big webcomic idea when you started making webcomics, or did you do something else first? So let's talk.
So yes, but also asterisk, because I've had many big ideas, and I took a stab at every single one of them with varying levels of success. My very first webcomic I tried doing, I would say, was my capital I big idea comic. The one, like, the epic fantasy sci-fi spacefaring, but also fantasy chosen one story that I was developing in like my sophomore year of high school that I thought was the coolest shit ever. I did my very first attempt at a webcomic, just tried jumping straight into it. And when I say jumping straight into it, I mean I had no script. I had no plan. I was flying by the seat of my pants, and you know that baby only lasted 6 pages before I got bored. Rip.
Many such cases.
Yeah. That's the way.
Sometimes you last 10 pages.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, go down the line. First webcomic attempt, how long did everybody last?
I'm excited to get to me now. All right, so I'm gonna go to Ray. Tell us about when you first started webcomics and if it was the one.
Okay, so much like Star, I have an asterisk at the yes, I started my big idea, because it was actually not a webcomic. It was notebook paper in a binder in freshman year of high school.
Yes!
And yes, it was my big idea where I tossed all my favorite characters in one thing. And funnily enough, some of those characters are in the current project I'm working on right now, but the story is completely different. I was originally going to turn it into a webcomic after I finished it in the notebook form that only my real life friends had read. But then I had friends going, oh, let's collaborate on a story. And that ended up being my main project for quite a while. So and then when I returned to this big idea, I was like, man, this is a mess.
You just, like, look deeply inward and cringe.
Yeah. But now I'm at my to be cringe is to be free. So mm-hmm. I'm taking some of those characters and letting them escape from that mess of a story and trying to make it a little bit more coherent.
I like that.
The Blorbos, they're escaping.
Yeah, let them free.
Or they're being recycled. Reduce.
What's that poem where it's like the tiger is in his cage? Yeah. Yes, the tiger is out. Just do that poem, but replace it with Blorbos instead.
Yes,
the Blorbos yes. are out.
They're out. Blorbos are free.
All right, Blorbo, let's talk about your cringe there, Thane.
Oh boy. I'm not actually sure how to quantify this one. Oh. So Witchwood is probably the closest thing that I have to the big one, like the story that I initially started writing as a prose story when I was 8, but it was the 13th prose story that I wrote, and some of them got quite long on, like, you know, just notebook, like those little Hilroy like notebook paper that they give you in like elementary school.
Oh yeah.
And like, so I wanted to write stories. The idea of making comics kind of started in high school-ish. And by that point, I was already kind of looking back on Witchwood and being like, man, I got to update this thing because I still love the characters, but like I was 8. I didn't know what I was doing. So pieces of it, I would start like kind of lifting out the pieces. And then I rewrote the entire thing as a novel when I was about 13. It was like 600 pages in Microsoft Word. And then it just kind of sat there on my hard drive while I was like, I really love comics. Want to make a comic of this, but I definitely need practice before I actually do it because I want to do it good. I was just self-aware enough to know that my art at, you know, 15 was probably going to improve and that I was not going to like whatever I drew at that current point in time. So I started a few other attempts at making comics. I did one which I called Maelstrom. It's like its little subtitle. I drew it all in like those Micron pens on blank paper, very laboriously cross-hatched. Got to 19 pages before I ran out of steam. There was one story which involved werewolves, and that one, yeah, werewolf story, untitled. I never came up with the title.
Oh my gosh.
It was all drawn in pencil, some on lined notebook paper and some on blank notebook paper. That one got to be about like 35 pages. I think I attempted the beginning of Witchwood, an unrecognizable version of it that, like, if I was to share these pages, it'd be like, this is just not the same at all. Mm-hmm. But I tried to start it 3 or 4 times. I think the longest attempt made it to about 10 or 12 pages before I was like, this isn't good. I don't like it. So I just kind of kept throwing them away. Then in my first year of university, I was hanging out on LiveJournal and I was writing Inuyasha fan fiction, and I met people through Inuyasha fanfiction, including my favorite fic author who had an idea for a webcomic and was like, I want to do a webcomic. Would you like to draw it? You draw. So I was like, yeah, let's do it. And so we made Seven Smith, which was technically my first proper webcomic, because that was the only one that actually made it to the internet. The other ones, I posted them on DeviantArt.
Yes.
And I attempted to put them up on Keenspace, which was it was still Keenspace back then. It later became Comic Genesis. It was kind of like a free, sort of like what Comic Fury is now.
Oh yeah, my first one was on Keenspace too.
Keenspace's interface was so confusing that like I tried to submit and I thought I had submitted, but then I never got a response, and I assumed that I had been rejected like cruelly because they thought I sucked or something.
They accept everything. You still have to apply. But yeah, they did pretty much accept everything.
I know that now. So my best guess is that like I entered my email wrong or like didn't enter my email or something like that. So I assumed that poor Maelstrom and my poor unnamed werewolf story, they just hated them. So
no!
They never survived. Yep. But
so sad.
Thanks to my, the writer of the webcomic that I was drawing, purchasing hosting for it, that one actually made it to the internet and was shown to people. And I became aware that people were reading it, which I think turned out to be the secret sauce at continuing the comic in going. Mm-hmm. So while Seven Smith was going, the writer ended up like getting a job and didn't have time for it anymore. And so I was like, but I still want to draw. I just need to use all this drawing energy on something. So Geralt, I started almost on a whim. I was like, I'm still not ready to do Witchwood, but I need to do something. So I threw together some characters and then I put it on the same hosting that I was using for Sevensmiths, just on a little subdomain. That's the story of my URL.
Incredible.
It's so silly though. It's like every single time I started one of these, even looking back at all those other stories, like I knew I needed practice. All these other little grains of stories, they didn't make it a lot of pages, but all of them, if I had finished them, they would have also probably needed at least 500 pages to be finished. Every story that I come up with, like I just have a disease where they all have to be long.
Shakes your damn hand.
Yeah.
They all need to fit at least 4 angsty backstories, and that's just not something you can do in less than 100 pages.
You need to let the angst
marinate.
You need
angst space.
You need to marinate the angst.
Yes.
I like this. I think that we all are susceptible to this disease, which is going to be awesome to lead into the next question about this, because those were beautiful experiences that I absolutely resonate with. So what about the big idea? Should it actually be your first comic? What's your opinion? And if it is, you know, what are some traps that people fall into when they start with, you know, the Chungus Among Us, the big idea?
The Chungus. So I feel like my answer to this question requires a follow-up question, because it's like, what do we mean when we say comic? Because if we're talking specific... Yeah, Crispy, you never said what your first comic was. Hey. Hey.
Oh, God.
Steals your gun, aims it at you.
The hunter becomes the hunted.
Oh, my God. Okay, okay. I will talk about my cringe comics. Okay. When I was a wee lad, I would do a lot of comics. I was definitely into the, you know... doing an online paper, doing whatever. My first comic ever was called Molly, and it was about this like really crazy sassy little girl that would just be crazy, and she was just mean and sassy, and I was like, I think I wanted to be mean and sassy when I grew up. I don't know. I'm
aspirational,
but anyway. So I went from there, and then, you know, comics is just like my thing all the time. I would always like discuss stories with my sister, who I still work with to this day. Our blurboitis has grown for many years. And from that, we were like, oh my God, like we really want to do a story about our characters. So like, oh, this is really hard to say 20 years ago. Oh my God. So over 20 years ago, we had the original idea for Ghost Junk Sickness. Characters were very inspired by Final Fantasy, Trigun, that and Magic Knight Rayearth. That was like the three things in the primordial soup. So, you know, we would go back and forth. And you don't remember those composition notebooks that they would get you for like middle school? So that's where ours were hanging out in.
Okay. I think that might be the name of the things that I was writing my novels.
And there were like black and
composition
white.
Composition notebooks things.
And they had like the little texture on the top and they were lined paper. Yeah. They felt so good.
Yeah, I use notebook paper because I'd be like, oh, this needs an extra page.
Oh, yeah. Scribble. Yes.
And just put it in there.
We've totally run into that. And it was just like, well, I guess we're stuck with it, even though it's pencil. But okay, the cool thing about, well, not cool, maybe courage, I don't know. So when we were, you know, developing the story, we, of course, came up with our own language.
Yes.
And we were so into that. Like we're in middle school. Like we're so into that. When we were writing it, my sister was drawing. So I think I drew the first version and then she drew the second version. So like that's the thing, is that, you know, when you were like, oh, I'm starting like multiple times on this big idea, we had like this advantage because there was two of us who were so freaking obsessed with this. So one would start it and then we'd be like, oh, that's kind of, and then the other one would start it, and you're like, oh, okay, that's kind of getting better. And then you'd be like, oh, we gotta stop it though. And then it kept going until we were like, oh, momentum is here. Anyway, made up our own original language. So when my sister did her version, she wrote the entire freaking thing in this made up language.
Oh my God. That
only me and my sister understood. And like, to this day, I'm like, oh, I can still read it. I was like, oh, this is funny. I mean, like, it's not complicated at all. It's like switching letters, but it was just really funny to see that. So anyway, comes from that. That is so, so old. Did a fan comic. We kind of just went right into it and then just, you know, slowly kind of scripted and got a little more polished with that, with the process that's going in. But yeah, Ghost Junk Sickness started from 20 years ago. And then we always start with huge ideas because we're just so obsessed with it. And eventually I took it over and it became Divine. Well, it didn't became. It was originally Divine Ace. I did 600 pages of it by myself. And then I was like, I think I want to start again. So I restarted it and did another 400 pages. And then I was like, I don't think it's there yet.
Oh my God. And then,
and then from there, I think that's when we did the fan comic and then actually started what Ghost Junk Sickness is now. Well, that's well over 1,000 pages of this project constantly started. But we'll get into the opinions of, you know, the big idea after. I don't personally think that I wasted any time with that. So, oh, my lore.
The lore.
But yes, going into our next question, I am going to ask you, Star, should a big idea be your first comic, like in your opinion? And what are some traps that people fall into when they start with this massive idea?
So I'm going to say my opinion on this, and then I will kind of elaborate on what I mean specifically, because I do consider myself in the camp of don't start with your big idea, asterisk. Big crunchy asterisk on that, because it depends on what we mean when we say the word comic. Do we mean like, don't let your big idea be your first big attempt at a comic? Or I always say like, start with something small. But when I say something small, I don't mean like, go make a whole other webcomic first. What I'm specifically saying when I say start with a smaller comic is like, your first time in any medium is gonna be a little bit clumsy. And I feel like a big reason why so many webcomics struggle to stay active and like kind of struggle in the beginning, and why so many like first webcomics die so quickly, is because people are making their very first attempt at sequential art ever. They're tackling these big, huge projects, and then they're either not being satisfied with their work. They don't understand why it's not hitting. They don't realize how much work it is. And then they just stop the comic after like 10 pages. Or they're getting caught in that remake loop where they get 10 pages in and then they realize, oh, my skills have improved so much over these 10 pages. But I want the beginning of my webcomic to be really good. So I should go back and remake those first 10 pages. And then by the time they're done with those first 10 pages, like the remix, they're like, oh, well, my skills are even better now. And then repeat the cycle forever until they get tired and then they stop and then they don't have a webcomic anymore. So
exactly.
When I say start with something small, I mean specifically if you have never made comics before in general, I would advise your very first attempt at the medium to be something smaller so you can cut your teeth on the stuff that's gonna matter to you less, because that just kind of makes it a little bit less emotionally distressing when the big project that you start with isn't up to snuff and where you want it to be. It's like when you very first pick up knitting needles for the first time, you don't start making a sweater immediately. You want to start like, make a square, make a scarf, make some coasters or something just to get used to knitting and the medium. And like, you don't have to make 50 coasters or like 100 scarves or anything, but you know, just like baby steps, baby steps. Like do a couple of just like dumb little comic strips. Do like a handful of like 3 or 4 page little mini comics of just your Blorbos interacting. Just like write a little short story just to see if you, you know, gel with the medium. Figure things out. Don't jump in the deep end if you don't know how to swim yet. That's kind of where I'm coming from when I give the advice of don't start with your big idea. Because you can, if you've made comics before and you really want to make a web comic, I don't think that starting with your big idea is necessarily a bad thing if that's what you're excited about. But if you've never, ever made comics in your life and this is your very first time making comics at all, it's a surprisingly different medium than just doing static illustrations. And so I would recommend, you know, like learning a bit about the medium before jumping whole hog into it, you know?
Yeah, it reminds me of when I started beginning playing piano. And of course, like, you know, you want to start with easier songs to get your hands used to the keys, to actually read the music, blah, 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 blah. And of course, me being a big nerd, the stuff that I really like to play is a lot of, well, specifically Final Fantasy music and all of those nice OSTs. So I was learning and I was like, well, I obviously want to learn this one song. And my skills were just not there. For anybody who is curious, the song is Those Who Fight, and it's a piano collection from Final Fantasy VII. And it's ridiculous for someone who just started out piano. And I'm looking at that being like, well, why doesn't it sound good? Why can't I play it? And I'm like, maybe because I just started playing piano. So, you know, I was playing with songs that are simpler, things that make me get used to reading and following along, and the hand movements, the placements, and how I'm supposed to play. And I think that that lends just with comics too, is that, you know, it is its own thing. And I do think that you have to start with something less ambitious. I'll get to that later, but I want to ask Ray the same question. Should a big idea be your first webcomic? And what are some traps that people fall into?
Okay, so I'm kind of the mind that if you have an idea that's just not going to leave your head, it's probably trying to tell you something and you should probably do it. Especially since if you sit on it, your feelings might change on that. You might, it'll like essentially alter and change as you go through life. So if you want that snapshot, it's probably best to get it out as much as possible. The thing with, say, like the magnum opus is that's the accumulation of your work. Usually you don't choose that. That just happens naturally as you gain experience. And I'm also just like, these ideas aren't always going anywhere. You can always revisit it. You can either redo it or revisit the themes and storyline with other characters, even at a later date. I know a few authors that they will tell the same stories over and over again, but that's what they want to do. So it's not like you can use a plot line and then poof, it's gone. You can't ever use it again. So I'm kind of the mind that, yes, if you have a big idea, you probably do want to build your muscles, because I do see a lot of people that just sit on their big idea going, oh, but I don't know how to draw very well. And then they work on drawings, but it's all static illustrations. Yes. And they never actually make a comic, which that comic, you learn how to make them by doing and figuring out what works and what doesn't. And another thing that I tend to find the people that sit on them tend to do is they have this ideal, and this big idea becomes this nebulous ideal that they are working toward. And as they get better, this idea gets better, but it actually doesn't exist. So they can't really know if it's better or not than what they're working on now. So it's kind of like they're comparing something that actually exists to something that doesn't.
Yeah. I think like one of the biggest pieces of advice that I'd love to give folks getting into anything, honestly, is to just really hold your inspirations close so that it can help keep you not moving those goalposts all the time. Because I know that, you know, seeing other people post their webcomics, talk about their success or whatever, like, I understand. Jealousy is a normal thing. Feeling bad about your work is a normal thing. Like, that's all things that we experience, but it is something that we can, you know, control with how we kind of deal with it. So I think goalposts and not shifting them when you see other things constantly, and not in a way where you're like, I'm inspired and I want to do that now. Like, not necessarily that, but like the core thing to remind you why you started this, I think that's really important. And I'm going to go back to my piano theory again, because in learning piano, one of my biggest pieces of music that I've always wanted to learn was, you know, again, another piece from the Final Fantasy piano collections. It was Aeris' theme. And I was like, okay, I'm going to learn piano as much as I can. And I had that set of music sheets always beside me. I couldn't play it yet, but they were always near me being like, this is why I'm playing, because I want to play this song. And it was a good reminder. And I try to do that with art too, where, you know, I have things that are reminding me of like, okay, like what was the core thing that made me start this? And when am I going to reflect and look at, you know, when I'm kind of making stuff so that I'm not constantly pulling all of these ideas and being like, well, now I want to do that. Oh, well, now I want to do that. Oh, and then, you know, you're kind of beating yourself over the head with these shifting goalposts and expectations. So it's interesting. Here we go. I'm going after you, Thane. Look out.
Oh, no. Well, I feel like a big part of what I kind of what I wanted to say, Ray actually covered a chunk of it, because the whole comparing a thing that actually exists with an idea that doesn't exist, like the two are just never the same. Mm-hmm. So getting practice in reconciling creatively with what your actual work looks like,
yes,
is really important in terms of like webcomics, any artistic endeavor. But because webcomics take so long, like, and you have to put so much work into it, I think it's something that is really important to kind of do. With regards to starting with the big idea, I wrote notes and they look extremely funny because it is a toss-up, and there's like five paragraphs in a row that just start with but. So it's always a toss-up. To be worth doing it all, because it's so much work and you're doing it for free, you really have to want it. Like, you gotta love it. So if that big idea is the thing that you love, if that's what gives you the juice and nothing else does, like you think about doing something different and you just can't, you just never start, okay, do it. Pursue where the passion is. I do feel strongly about that one. But this is where that perfect is the enemy of the finished, or even of the good, because if you need to be too precious about it, well, if it's going to exist at all, it has to be perfect. It has to match what's in my head. You do have to realize that it won't. It's just not really, it's not really possible. I mean, maybe if maybe for people who have perfect, like, you know, the photographic memory thing and are able to perfectly draw exactly that. But I feel like that sort of thing is fairly rare. And also, like, the impact of the story itself is the culmination of every single page and every single panel and every single little expression. You might find that as you work on a story, especially a really, really long one, that your own perception of your characters and your plot and your world building will also start to change, because new stuff will just occur to you because now you're working on it, because you can see it physically on the page. It just hits different inherently. Mm-hmm. And it probably is going to end up being very different from that original concept. And depending on how much of a problem that is, it can be very painful, or it can be kind of freeing to just be like, well, this is what I'm working on, this creation that I'm making that exists now, being able to like look back on it as a whole. The third but in my notes is that if you do feel like things are going bad, you could do it over. You feel like you need to. The cops won't come. Nobody's going to call the webcomic police. Well. Then the fourth but is that that is the road that leads to the infinite reboot loop, which we have definitely talked about on there. The fifth one.
There's so many buts.
Yeah, it's a lot of buts. My note-taking style is very, very bizarre for this episode. The fifth one, I think, is something that really kind of became apparent to me specifically while I was working on Chiralt in particular, just because that comic took 11 years to make and it is 1,267 pages long. There's a lot of it. And I found that as I was working on it, because of that huge span of time, I changed as a person, and my tastes also changed, and my inspirations also changed. Mm-hmm. So the things that I was picturing at the very beginning of the story, when I was trying to figure out, what am I going to be doing? Like, where are these characters going to go? When I reread those outlines halfway through, and I think I've talked about this on previous Screen Tones episodes too, after 5 years of Chiralt, I was like, I need to start going towards the end game. What did I have planned for that again? Let's go to the notes. And I pulled up my outline and I read through it and I was like, ah, I don't like this. So I threw it out and I started over with new ideas that mattered more to me, based directly on what was actually happening on the page to the characters that I was drawing. Now that I felt like I knew them much better than I ever did when they were just like in ephemeral concepts in my head that had never been laid down.
Yeah, so. I absolutely love that. I think that's a great point.
Fun fact, like, the whole thing about like looking at your outline and not being excited about what's coming up, that's one of the things that killed my first real attempt at a webcomic, Oh,
womp, that's a mood. That, I can understand that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think that whole, that desire to be like really perfect and precious and like plan every single little thing like ahead of time before you actually have put pen to paper and started drawing a single page. I feel like that it's not just a mistake for me personally. I feel mm-hmm. like if I was to do that and attempt to do it in full, I wouldn't say I would consider it a waste of time, but like I would not hold myself to that outline after I was actually underway. Because at a certain point, like if I think of a better idea, I'm always going to reserve the right to pursue that better idea.
Yeah, you and I will think of better things. Because you talked about the fact that making the comic, you're going to start to learn and know your characters better than, you know, than what they started out with. And I 100% feel that because the way that Space and I work, my co-creator, is that we do have everything written out, not detail to detail, and it's very minute. But we have, you know, okay, what do we want? Here's the starting, middle, end, blah, 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 blah. And currently, you know, we wrote the entirety of Lunar Blight. And now we're in rewrites because we're like, okay, well, you know, what chapter is this? Okay, we're going to look at that. What's the ending? Oh, okay, so we're going to redo this. And it's just, yeah, things are changing. And I think, like, that's cool. That's cool that you're learning more about yourself. You're changing as a person, and, like, that will change with it. So I think it's a really good point to just not be too precious about this stuff, because you will change, your work will change, and that's okay. We're not going to call the webcomic police. We're not narcs. We're not going to do it. They're not going to come for you.
Or are they?
Oh, don't say that.
They're coming for you, Crispy.
No! No! I can't go back to jail! So I think that leads really nicely into our final question, which is going to be full of opinions in life and all that. What is your biggest piece of advice when someone who has the big idea says that they're really, really passionate about, but they want to go about making it in a sustainable and healthy way? Star, let's chat. Let's chat.
Well, you talk about sustainable and healthy. Maybe don't make it full color. If you don't like color, maybe you don't have to make it in color. It's just one thing that might make things a little easier on you. Just not doing it full color. Listen, manga's all done in black and white and you don't hear their readers complaining. Why do I get so many people in my comment section being like, I have to make my webcomic in color, but I hate coloring? No, you don't.
Oh my god.
No, you don't. You don't. Let me.
I definitely have opinions on this too.
The floor is yours, please. Man. I want to hear these opinions before we get off topic.
Okay, so my first webcomic, I originally did in color, okay? And then I tried to reboot it. And I did it in black and white in traditional media. It was all fully in mechanical pencil.
Oh my god.
It was actually more popular that way.
Ooh. Delicious. Interesting.
It does not need to be in color.
I think part of the thing, this, I'm not sure whether, I don't have a source to cite on this other than I remember being told it a while ago. But if I recall, Webtoon really wanted their originals to all be in color. And there was a lot of pressure, especially on that platform, that it has to be in color in order to get featured, in order to get lots of subscribers. And to some extent, I do see it a bit in the subscriber numbers on that platform. I
mean, you make a good point, because guess what? They're recoloring Full Metal Alchemist
right now.
They're recoloring. Or actually, no, there's no recoloring. They are coloring Full Metal Alchemist for more subscribers on Webtoon.
Whoa. Full Metal Alchemist is on Webtoon?
Yes.
What?
Yeah. It happened last month, if I recall.
I'm Googling this so I can get mad.
That's the thing. It's gotta be in color.
Why is it so crunchy?
It's very crunchy.
What? Why is it so crunchy though? Why are all these?
And they changed like the title. It looks like a shonen, like more shonen specific. I'm sorry. Sorry, editors. We gotta talk about this.
What did they do to my boy?
Yeah.
Hang on. But here, I'm dropping link in voice chat. What did they do to my boys? Why are they so crunchy?
Why
does the letter look so shit? Did they trace it in MS Paint? Why are the lines so jagged?
It's bad. They've blown up the art in undescribable ways. I think that's going to be a good topic for Wire format. Sorry, we're going off topic. I'll talk about this after, but I'm so sorry. I have hurt you. Sorry. This information is bad.
Cursed knowledge that can never be unlearned.
Yeah. Yeah. But to your point, Thane.
I'm in the corner rotting like a fungus for the entire rest of this episode.
There is that expectation that folks who are making webcomics these days, I sound like such a boomer when I say it, but whatever, I'm owning it, feel like they have to do color to grab attention. And it was stuff that I have run into as someone who has done black and white comics, and I will never change that. Sorry, people who are mad that want me to change that. It's just not going to happen.
Those people are weak and you should kill them with a shotgun. Yeah. I mean, in Minecraft.
In Minecraft. I'll destroy your houses in Minecraft. Yeah. And like,
destroy them in PvP.
Yeah, Fortnite. PvP Minecraft.
Number one, I'm victory just... royale, because all these little said that I needed to do my comic in color. Shows what they know.
And it is a common sentiment, like, of younger people who are just not into, I don't know, what, manga rocks, thinking that things need to be colored because it's just more eye-catching, because it's just more pretty. Well, I want to see, like, these characters do this and that and the other thing. One of my things that are really entertaining and fun when we do illustrations is people finding out what the colors are of characters. There's one character that we have in chapter 7, and he has, like, he honestly looks like one of the Powerpuff Girls' enemies. Oh, what are they called? The Gangrene Gang.
Yeah.
Or Plankton. So anyway, he's green and he's got black hair and the yellow eye and stuff like that. And people were like, I thought he was purple for some reason. Like, this story isn't black and white, but I really got purple vibes. I'm just like, this is great. I love this.
Purple vibes.
I feel like there's a lot of pressure in webcomics nowadays. Like, webcomics of all places, like the absolute Wild West side of like storytelling and art on the internet, where it has to be so pro and polished and be this product that can, you know, sell real books and make a gajillion dollars on ads or something like that. Like, there's a lot of pressure to take this in a professional direction. And I think that it's, for people who are just jumping in for the first time, it's not really realistic. Like, that's not a standard that you should hold it up to. The time that I got started in webcomics, there were some really cool comics out there, but the bar for entry felt lower, even though the bar for entry has not fundamentally changed. It's still just as easy to draw something and put it on the internet as it was, you know, oh God, I don't want to say how long ago it has been now.
Redacted.
Anyway, it's still very easy to put a story online. Nobody will stop you from doing it. But I feel like people perceive it as being this huge undertaking that they need to take seriously and treat like a job. And I don't think that's really fair. It's a little off topic, but yeah,
no, I think it isn't about this. It's on topic because, you know, one of the things about starting that big idea is that a lot of people are self-conscious about the wrong things, which are, you know, they're starting their webcomic and you're like, okay, but how come I don't have like 100 subscribers already? And it's just like, why are you paying attention to that, Brenda? That's not about this.
I'm going to eat Webtoon.
I think one of the things that a lot of people don't realize too is a lot of these big polished webcomics that are online are not the first attempt for the creators. Thane was talking about how they drew Witchwood before, and I'm reworking older characters into a new comic. Crispy's Done had like proto Ghost Junk Sickness comics out there. The polish needs to come with the work.
Yeah.
Like, you need to put the work in to get that, and if it doesn't exist, that's not going to happen.
You know, and I think it's also about sharing space with like folks that are growing with you too, and encouraging that growth. And I know it's difficult, and I feel like I would go through the same traps that I'm seeing a lot of younger creators go through these days, where they're just constantly comparing themselves to like people they want to be, but in like the worst ways, not like learning from it, just being like, well, why don't I have that? And I think that that's something you need to abandon if you want to be sustainable or healthy about this. You have to abandon checking out other people's homework in a way that compares your work to theirs and constantly wanting that. You can feel sad about it. You can feel jealous. Again, those are normal things, but that cannot be the driving force. That can't be something that just weighs you down. And you know, it is hard work to get rid of those shackles and be like, okay, you know, I'm just gonna freaking focus on what I'm doing. And I think the posting on stuff like Webtoons that has those numbers that make people feel that they are in a competition just does not help. It just does not help at all. Like, when I was doing all of my comics before, and I was posting my webcomics on DeviantArt because that's my place. That's where I was. Yeah, I'd get some few comments maybe, but I never, that was not the driving thing. I did it because I had the disease and I had these
sickness out of my brain.
Like, if they were not out of my brain and on paper, like, that was an issue because I couldn't stop talking about them. And that's why I make comics, is because I have to just evict these blurbos from my head. Yeah. And Dick Thane said it's just, you know, having that passion has to drive that. You know, if the big idea is just strangling you and it's like, let me out, like, you could do it. You're allowed. But, you know, with some of the advice that was said in this episode, you could do small chunks of it. You could do like mini parts of it. But know that this is also you learning too. And learning is that's the most precious part of all of this, is that we're learning as we're doing it. And you're just going to get better. You're just going to have cringe art.
And the learning never stops either.
Yeah, I mean,
yes,
it never
I think
stops.
You said it best at like closer to the start of the episode, where it's like, yeah, you did 600-700 pages of these attempts at comics that ultimately got rebooted, but none of that work was wasted. And that's something that I try and preach to people too, is like, listen, every single drawing is, it's like gardening, right? You know, like, sometimes your veggies don't grow the way they want to, but those plants become fertilizer for what comes next. And so like every page of comics that you draw is fertilizer. It's learning. It's improving your skills so that you will get better as you go on. Your first attempt at a comic is not going to look as good as your 10th. Your first comic page is not going to look good as your 20th. Your 20th page is going to look worse, arguably, than your 100th comic page. But that's just what this is. That's what the medium is. That's what being an artist is slowly, gradually getting better by, you know, putting out something mediocre and then getting better and learning from it and then taking steps towards improving it for the next time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly that. And I think that when I think about this advice, one of the things that I always like to remind folks when deconstructing it too, is that you'll see it a lot on social media being like, don't start with your big idea, start with something small. And like Star was saying, not necessarily meaning a shorter comic or like a short story, but I think to me, the advice should be more about expectations. Don't start out with massive expectations that you're going to be the next huge, massive hit original. Like, you know, don't start out with those expectations because that's hard on you. That is a lot. Start with smaller expectations. That's the biggest part. Your smaller expectations is like, you know what? I think I hit 5 pages. And I think that's good for me for this project. And that's good because that's an expectation that you kind of set for yourself. It's a little smaller, but that's okay. And it could be parts from your giant story of your blurbos that are strangling to get out of your brain, or it could be something else. But I think expectations is key here when we talk about this advice, when you see it on social media, and even when people are incorrectly saying, like, just don't start with your big story, write short stories. Personally, and I don't care if people disagree, I think that's incorrect. I think that, like we've said several times in this episode, the passion is what drives you. And I personally, I can't write short stories to save myself. It is so hard. It's a different skill set too.
You have the long, like, story
that's
disease.
Telling your brain. I do. I do have the long story disease. And that's a
high five.
It's hard. It is a completely different skill set to do short stories than opposed to long ones, because it's different ways of storytelling. It's different ways of conveying information. And it's just like, if I just want to do my giant story and it's going to look a little cringe, I don't care, because I'm doing my giant story and I'm obsessed with these OCs. And it doesn't need to be this most perfect, polished, oh my God, this is going to get an award. Like, that's nice, but no, this is, I got to get rid of the disease.
I've tried to make short stories because I do feel like it's such a different skill. I feel like it's a valuable one and mm-hmm. I want to learn it. So every so often I get a little bug and I'll try to make a short story. And a lot of the short stories that I make, fundamentally, it always feels like they're straining a little bit. They're a short story, but they really want like a second chapter yeah. or like a something else. I feel like I'm getting a little bit better at it, but a lot of my first short stories, they just read like the first six pages of a chapter, and then they would sort of end in an unsatisfactory way. It just, you know, they didn't really feel super complete. And by practicing doing it, I've slowly improved at actually making short stories mm-hmm. that truly are short. And I don't feel like I wasted any time or something by doing those initial ones, because I never would have gotten better if I had not done those. But it's definitely, it's real. A good short story, I'm so impressed whenever I read one. I'm like, damn.
Yeah, I think short stories are good as like flexing on limiting scope. And I do think that is something that you definitely need to do when you get to your big idea, because so much of us have scope creep. Even if we have long stories, we want to make them longer. Mm-hmm. So short stories do really help in editing and trying to figure out what is actually necessary to put in there. But yes, I also have long story disease. So yeah.
Listen, I too, we're all shaking hands here with long story disease. My mm-hmm. rebuttal for that is that when I say short story, personally, what I mean is like, just draw a single scene. Just like draw that one mm-hmm. cool scene that you've got in your head. Just draw that. I yeah. do so, like so many pages of my sketchbook is just like one page, just funny interactions between such and such characters. Because it's yeah. like, I just want to get the brainworms for this one specific scene out of my head. And it's just like yes. one or two pages of just this silly little thing. It doesn't have to have a whole beginning, middle, and end. Sometimes you nope. just want to draw the blurbos getting made fun of by other blurbos because they're cringe and it's funny and you're just having a good time. You want to draw your socially anxious character having a socially anxious experience and having to giggle about it because it's like, oh, baby. Sometimes you can just draw that. When I say short story, you can just draw your characters being silly. You can just draw like one yep. or two pages of a little thing. It doesn't have to be like a whole finely put together story. You can just draw your characters doing fun shit and it's fine.
Yeah, you are the master of your own domain at the end of the day. And like Thane was saying, the bar of entry into webcomics is fundamentally, it's still the same. There's that expectation that is unfortunately going along with what's going on with the webcomic sphere right now. But, you know, you can, and you should. You should just draw your blurbos in a comic and just do whatever. And you know what? You know what I'm going to say? It doesn't have to be posted online. I think that you could just keep it to yourself and learn from that too. And if you're like, you know what, this is fire, sure, share it with the world. Just know that, you know, you can do these things, you can craft these stories, you can have all of this fun with webcomics, but just understand the expectations that you're putting yourself through.
Crispy is advocating for your webcomics to not be on the web. The webcomic police are really going to come after you now. You go now!
Yeah, unfortunately.
Did you just web your comic?
I found you in violation of not webbing your comic. You're under arrest.
You know what? Dolphin Sound U unwebs your comic.
Unwebs your comic. Just like kills your hosting.
Oh, another word for that is a DDoS attack.
Anyway. DDoS stands for something.
So I think that has been a chicken salad Caesar wrap classic wrap. And delicious. Or a buffalo one. I'm really...
Make up your mind!
I've been Crispy, and you can find my work at ghostjunksickness.com or lunarblight.com.
And I've been Star the whole time. You can find my comics at castoff-comic.com.
And I've been Ray, and you can find my comic on Empyrean High at empyreancomic.com and Overlord of Ravenfell on Webtoon.
And I am Farathane, and you can find my webcomics at chiralt.sevensmith.net and at witchwoodcomic.com.
Are you sure? you guys are the people you say you are? I'm a little scared right now. Who's in the chat with me?
Come exactly. Call me Thane.
Thank you for listening to Screen Tones, a webcomic podcast. You can find all our episodes at screentonescast.com. We've got a couple links over there to our Ko-fi and merch shop, where your support will help us create more episodes and keep us talking about anything and everything webcomics. You can also find us on YouTube, Blue Sky, Tumblr, and our Discord server. Thank you so much for listening, sharing, rating, and supporting, and we'll see you next time.